Investment flash.
Brent above 102, inflation-protected treasuries flat, and everyone still staring at equities? Wrong screen, buddy.
Good morning, New York. It's Tuesday, September 10th, and you're listening to Investment Flash. I'm Marie with Tom and Gerald. Here's the day.
Okay, oil shock first, and that U.S. oil fund buy from the London show this morning, last session up another 2.7%, now just 3% off its 52-week high. The Iran war story simply has not cooled.
And it's up 117% year-to-date, Tom. At this point, the trade's counterweight is crowded. Airline hedges and inflation-protected treasuries are the cleaner ways to play it, not piling into the same ETF everyone else owns.
Right. Delta Airlines is 18% below its 52-week high. If you believe jet fuel stays high, the sell side of that equation hasn't fully priced it. But inflation-protected treasuries, flat this week and 5% below high, that's the under-owned hedge here.
So you're telling me the best oil trade isn't oil? Fine, I'll take the inflation-protected treasury angle, but ExxonMobil plus 2.2...
Oh, Tom, Exxon has room is the energy sector version of a dad joke at this point.
Fair enough.
Moving to the Huawei trial, Wall Street Journal and Nikkei both report the U.S. criminal case opened in Brooklyn weeks before a Trump-Xi meeting. Conviction risk is live.
China large cap ETF down 1.29% last session, 18% below its high. The China internet ETF down 2.29% and 43% below high. Some premium has already left, but headline downside hasn't.
And that's exactly my point. The direct exposure is China internet, not just the index. If licensing freezes, Qualcomm plus 1.33% last session is the name that cuts both ways.
Okay, but the bear case is a conviction doesn't automatically mean sanctions. The trial has been telegraphed for months. I'm not buying the dip in China, but I'm not shorting it into a potential meeting catalyst. All right, AI payments. This one I like. Ant International, Visa, and MasterCard signed a collaboration on common AI agent payment standards. McKinsey's talking $3 to $5 trillion in agent-driven commerce by 2030.
And Visa trades 5% below its high at 24.5 times forward. MasterCard 6% below at 24.7. Tom, you're paying a premium for standard setting before agents actually scale.
No, but that's exactly the point. Standards entrench the rails. More than 50 e-wallets already sit on Alipay Plus, and digital wallets were 56% of global e-commerce last year. This is picking the toll road, not the car.
PayPal, on the other hand, down 10.3% year-to-date and 34% below its high. Wallet rivals lose when Visa and MasterCard fix interoperability.
Right, so PayPal is the beta test for what happens when you're not invited to the standards party.
Okay, I mean, he's not wrong.
Now, the most original take, and it's my favorite because it's credit, not equities. Bloomberg says big tech debt issuance is so heavy that bond investors are starting to view some emerging market sovereigns as safer.
See, this is what I mean. That's not a bullish emerging market call. It's a bearish read on leverage in supposedly pristine U.S. issuers. The rotation is relative.
Hold on, Gerald. You're telling me investment-grade corporate bonds are the new supply weight underperformer. The index flat this week and 7% below high. That's the AI CapEx debt wave widening spreads.
Exactly. And emerging market sovereign bonds are flat and 4% below high. Cheap versus the corporate bond index on this rotation. High yield gets sold first if it accelerates. 1% above its low gives no cushion.
Agree moment? I think we all see this one the same way.
Exactly.
100%.
That's the whole story. China-US yield gap widened to a record last session. Treasury sold off. Onshore Chinese yield stayed stable. That's a policy split, not a Chinese growth story.
Long-duration Treasury ETF sits 1% above its 52-week low and 11% below its high. The 10-year point is where the record spread is set. Intermediate treasuries, literally 0% above their low.
And the cleanest expression is the dollar against the yuan. A record yield gap pressures the yuan weaker. That's the trade.
But watch the snapback. The long-duration treasury ETF at 1% above its low means shorts are crowded. A dovish shift hurts that leg, asked.
Marie just described the entire treasury bear trade as a crowded elevator and someone pressed the down button on an already low floor.
Oh, come on.
Korea chips. Bank of Korea called for stronger monitoring of overseas derivatives tied to Korean chipmakers, flagging a hedge fund's leveraged bets as a volatility driver.
South Korea equity ETF ran 6.7% in a week, 14% below its high, after a 147% run off the low. That's frothy, not early.
Samsung and SK Hynix are the flagged names. Offshore derivatives unwind risk is highest in those two. This is a central bank essentially saying the leverage is getting silly.
Yeah, but Gerald, remember when you said semis were cooked in Q2? These Korean chipmakers still have the AI demand story behind them.
Tom, the only thing I said was cooked was your price target.
Yeah.
Equity resilience. Two strategist pieces say investors are missing good news, and Bank of America argues equities can withstand much bigger bond shocks. The fear is sharper in the press than in the tape.
S&P 500 ETF 2% below its high after a down 0.46% last session. Small caps 5% below high. The volatility index up 14.9% this week, but still 53% below its high.
Right. So the market saying, yes, bond yields are moving, but no, we don't care. That's either confidence or complacency. I'd watch the volatility index, not yields, as the risk gauge.
That's exactly the Bank of America point. Volatility is a better risk gauge than yields. And right now, the fear level is benign.
Australia LNG. The government replaced its fixed domestic gas reservation with an annual demand-based cap. That's a direct margin tailwind for Woodside and Santos.
Woodside plus 3.4% this week and 8% below its high. Santos 1% below its 52-week high after plus 3.9%. More gas flowing to export volumes without fresh capex improves economics.
And it's exactly the kind of structural policy easing that shows up quietly in free cash flow before the market chases it. I like it more than chasing the U.S. oil fund. Porsche raised about 1 billion euros selling its Bugatti stake and lifted its margin forecast. The disposal removes a low-return asset and makes the margin story credible.
Mercedes is the peer benchmark at 0.47 times price to book and 25% below its high. Porsche's move sets a new margin bar, but competitive pressure is live.
Cleaner portfolio, better free cash flow, raised guidance. That's a textbook re-rating setup, even if there's no US snapshot.
And before we wrap, as always, none of this is investment advice. Here's the day's convergence. Brent above 102, US oil fund up 117% year to date and 3% off its high, while long duration treasury ETF sits 1% above its low. That's a duration and credit unwind with an energy kicker.
And it isn't broad risk off. Equities are 2% from highs, and Bank of America thinks stocks can absorb a lot more bond pain. The cycle is late, but it's being priced in one specific trade. Energy up, duration down.
Okay, but the bear case is energy is crowded. Any ceasefire headline forces a violent unwind before inflation-protected treasuries can reprice. And long-duration bears are also crowded, the treasury ETF at 1% above its low.
Right, and a soft CPI print would hurt the short treasury leg just when the oil leg peaks. Watch the volatility index. Up 14.9% this week, but still 53% below its high.
What's missing from coverage is the Fed. Brent above 102, a record China-US yield gap,
and a Bank of Korea warning all point to higher term premiums. Nobody mapped that into the year-end rate path.
So the cleanest expression isn't a single ticker. It's long energy and short duration, plus long emerging market credit over U.S. investment grade.
If we compress the day into one line, long the energy ETF against the long duration treasury ETF and long the emerging market sovereign ETF against the investment grade corporate ETF.
First is the inflation trade the tape is repricing. Second is the AI debt rotation the press only just identified, both early enough to still pay, but only if you respect positioning.
Right.
Yeah.
Spot on.
If you're just finding us, hit follow on Spotify or check investmentflash.com for the full digest with charts and sources.
We're back tomorrow's London edition at 7:30 a.m. London time. See you then.